Senator Koch.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail, and the Sergeant-at-Arms will be instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's prayer is being offered by Rabbi Sim Glazer from Temple Israel in Minneapolis. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning. So I said to my wife this morning over oatmeal, I have the ear of the State Senate for less than 1 minute this morning to offer a prayer. What should I say? And she said, remind them that our state is only as secure and healthy as our poorest and most vulnerable citizens. I said, hey, that's good, putting down my spoon. But I'm not supposed to get political, I said. I'm only allowed a religious message, and a third of my time is already used up describing our breakfast conversation. That's a pretty religious message, she said. And she's right. My wife has served in homeless shelters coordinating meals. She's worked to get grants to help people get permanent housing. And she sometimes cries when she reads that morning newspaper while I'm busy eating my breakfast. So having used up half my time now, here is my prayer. Divine source of goodness, there are all sorts of voices that call for our attention daily. To paraphrase the biblical book of 1 Kings and the word of God to Elijah the prophet, God is not in the earthquake or flood. God is not in the special interests or lobbies. God is not in the ego or the exalted position of higher office. Rather, God is in the still small voice of conscience that lies in a pure form inside each one of us, the voice that cries at headlines, the voice that has trouble eating breakfast when others are hungry, and the one who loses sleep knowing there are those without beds. Dear God, if being human is complicated, then being an elected leader of human beings is doubly complicated. We come to these hallowed halls not only to demonstrate allegiance to parties and constituents, but to exercise the responsibility with which life, your divine will, and our constituents have blessed us. Help us awaken each morning with a firm and clear vision of a secure and stable Minnesota for all, including the less fortunate who have placed their trust in us. May the decisions we make within these hallowed rooms reflect the will of your universe, which desires only goodness for its inhabitants. We are, after all, your partners in this great work. And let us say, Amen.
The Pledge of Allegiance today will be led by Mrs. Bonnie Buford from Robbinsdale. Bonnie is an Air Force veteran serving from 1982 to 1986. Her service brought her to the Philippines and Colorado, where she worked in radar operations and satellite communication. She is currently Veterans Assistant Supervisor with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Bonnie, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Anderson, Bach, Benson, Berglund, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Hand, Harrington, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebretson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Cook, Cruz, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Pogamiller, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Moving to the third order of messages from the House, Secretary Ludeman will read the first message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 40 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. Senate File Number 40, a bill for an act relating to education. Senate File Number 40 is herewith returned to the Senate. Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No action is necessary on that message. Secretary will read the second message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files, herewith transmitted, House file numbers 88, 203, 235, and 257. Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No action is necessary on that message. Moving to the fourth order of business, the first reading of House bills. Those bills are printed in today's agenda, and they are referred as indicated, first reading. Moving on to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I would move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion is adopted. Moving on to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. Those bills are referred as indicated with one change on page 7 of today's Senate bill introductions. Senate file 647 on paper is referred to the Committee for Education. It needs to be referred to the local government and elections. First reading with that change. Moving on to the ninth order of business, there are 10 under motions and resolutions, there are 10 authors' motions that will be adopted as one motion. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Moving on to the next motion under motions and resolutions, Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, I move that Senate file number 35 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health and Human Services and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. This is a bill that deals with tax policy, not health policy, and both chairs agree to the change of jurisdiction.
On Senator Rest's motion, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion is adopted. Senator Rosen.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 493 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health and Human Services and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. This is a bill that deals with taxes. It's the little cigar bill and has really nothing to do with health care except health care savings at the tail end, but it is a tax on the little cigars.
On Senator Rosen's motion, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The Senate resolutions printed on page 3 are referred to rules. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, remaining under motions and resolutions, pursuant to Rule 26, I would designate the following bill be made a special order for immediate consideration. That is House File 103. Members, this is number 8 on general orders.
Senator Koch has designated House File 103, number 8 on general orders, a special order. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill relates to a couple, has two different sections I want to draw your attention to. The first relates specifically to adult children of business owners and their ability to collect full unemployment benefits. There was a change last year that limited them to 5 weeks, and I know many members we've heard from this, from our constituents on this issue. And secondly, the second part of this bill just brings Minnesota's unemployment insurance system in line with what happened with the federal government just at the end of last year. It would allow Minnesotans to get the additional 12 weeks that's being funded by the federal government. I want to urge your support on this. Many of you, as I've described these bills, I'm sure they sound familiar to you, because not only do the authors that we have on this bill specifically, we have Senator DeCrieff, Senator Lilly, Senator Brown, and Senator Doms. But we've had broad-based support. There's been many, many other companion bills that have included Senator Howe, Senator Saxog, Senator Nelson, Senator Reinert, Senator Niehaus, Lori, Bonhoff, Thomasoni, and Skoy. And so my hope is that this demonstrates there's significant broad base for this support. If you vote in favor of this, you will absolutely have constituents that will see the benefits of this. In very short order, I know the Department of Employment and Economic Development stands ready to send notices out on this as soon as the governor signs this bill. So I stand for any questions members might have.
Discussion on House File 103. Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Peterson yield for a question?
Yes. Senator Peterson will yield.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Peterson, the unemployment trust fund, the benefits are paid out of, I believe, is running a deficit. Do we know how much that current deficit is that we borrowed from the federal government, and how much this bill will potentially increase that deficit?
Senator Peterson.
Yep, currently my understanding, the last report that I saw from Deed last week showed that there was between $500 and $600 million deficit right now, but as a business owner myself and the two businesses I'm involved in, I paid in over $100,000 to this system myself in 2010, and I can tell you and would welcome any other comments from other folks that pay into this system is that I don't mind seeing it in a deficit because, you know, quite frankly, I think the legislature has demonstrated in the past is that if that fund were to grow into a significant surplus, you know, the legislature would be tempted to grab that for something else. This fund is expected to collect over $1 billion in 2011 and actually well over $1 billion in 2012. And will be in a surplus as soon as 2013. So the folks that fund this, you know, the business owners, I think generally don't have a concern about the deficit. This has no effect on the general fund at all. So,
well,
Senator
Bach.
Thank
you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Peterson. But the other part of my question: do we know how much additional liability this puts on the trust fund by passing this provision? And Senator Peterson, I support your bill. In fact, I think I'm an author on, if not yours, a similar one. Do we know how much additional liability it puts on the fund?
Yeah, that, right
Peterson.
Offhand. Yeah, I think there's 50-some-odd thousand residents that are affected by the second provision, and there's a little less than 5,000 residents that are affected by the first provision, so I could do the math and get back to you on that if you want me to.
Well, Madam
Senator
President,
Bach,
I contacted the department to see what the current status of the trust fund is, and I'm told that as of the close of business last Friday, the unemployment trust fund is about $620 million in the red, and by mid-April, we expect it to be about $750 million in the red. And, I mean, I'll say it again, I support Senator Peterson's bill, but we all just need to remember that we're borrowing money from the federal government to pay unemployment right now. That's what's happening. It's a natural mechanism. This isn't the first time it's happened. It does happen every time we have an economic slump like this, but we do have to pay that money back. And Minnesota employers are going to be charged a surcharge on their payroll in order to pay the federal government the money we borrowed from them. So I don't want anybody to think that this is free money. Minnesota employers are going to have to pay this, and hopefully the economy will recover so that we can get this fund out of the red. But it appears like by mid-April, we're going to owe the federal government about $750 million.
Further discussion, Senator Peterson.
Yep, I'm sure Minority Leader Bach knows that the rates are in law, they are in statute, they automatically click up as employers have to lay off more people, and they click back down as they do not lay off people. So I think the legislature has addressed that in statute right now, and the employers are well aware of the expense, and as I tried to make clear earlier, as an employer myself, I'm more than willing to operate on this line of credit from the federal government until our fund is back in the black here in just less than 2 years, basically. I would urge your support here of House File 103. Thanks.
Further discussion on House File 103. Secretary will give House File 103 its third reading.
House File Number 103, a bill for an act relating to unemployment insurance, third reading.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll on House File 103. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I would designate the following bill be made a special order for immediate consideration. Senate File 69. Members, this is number one on your general orders.
Senator Koch has designated Senate File 69 as Special Order Number 1 on General Orders. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File Number 69 is referred to as a homeschool mandate and reporting requirement relief, but it also provides relief to our school districts in terms of the handling and management of reports that have, on examination, seemed to be unnecessary. After the homeschooling has achieved the sophistication and length of experience that it has. And so this has been an effort to streamline the responsibilities of the superintendent as well as the parents, while not eliminating, but allowing parents to file their intentions to home educate, and then at a time that they may cease to do so or leave the area, they must inform the superintendent that that is the case. They also, in terms of the superintendent having to approve tests, we have instead put in law that the parent may choose any nationally recognized college entrance test as their means of assessment. The reporting of test requirements and other measures of assessment is not required unless the student does enter the public school for a course or to change their place of obtaining their education. These are some of the significant changes. Also, in the area of driver education, it allows the parents to provide that documentation directly to the Department of Public Safety, rather than having to have the superintendent endorse what has in fact happened. Those are the major changes for the bill in terms of reporting requirements. They have the support of the superintendents, the administrators, and the Department of Public Safety. And they also have, well, it's not a support acceptance on the part of the county attorneys, that they will have access to information if they need to enforce truancy laws or if there are, in fact, complaints that have been that are filed. The in turn, the home education community has agreed to lift another burden from the school districts, and that is the ordering of textbooks and becoming the owners of them for homeschooling families. And I believe the law changes have been made to specify that the size of the school eligible for that textbook aid and the health and counseling services is 15 in number. And so what has been a challenge where a homeschool family may have several children at different ages and different subjects, there's a lot of paperwork and processing and ordering of these materials for the homeschool families. So they're willing to give that up, and which saves the state some over $1 million in the biennium. Part of the reason, too, is I think it makes sense that the tax credit and deduction bill or law that we have in place does allow for these resources to be obtained at greatly reduced costs. And so there are other avenues that are available to homeschooling families rather, and that would also lift this burden on the school districts. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to stand for them.
Further discussion on Senate File 69. Senator Goodwin.
Madam President, will Senator Olson yield for a question?
Senator Olson, will you yield?
Yes.
Senator Olson, will yield.
Senator Olson, I'd just like to know what the financial ramifications of your bill is, and then also where the money will be going. You can answer that for me. Thank you.
Just a moment, Senator Olson. Members, it is a little bit difficult to hear. If we could just have it quiet. I know that Senator Goodwin's asking some questions, and I'm sure that Senator Olson would like to hear them. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm just getting a little assistance here because I missed the first part of what you had to say. Thank you for obtaining some order. Could you repeat that, Senator Goodwin?
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to know what the financial ramifications of the bill are and where the money will be going.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Goodwin, the savings to the state are some over $1 million. I believe it's in fiscal 12, $493,000, and fiscal 13, $603,000, so it's some over $1 million, which would be in the general fund.
Further discussion on Senate File 69. Seeing none, Secretary will give Senate File 69 its third reading.
Senate File Number 69, relating a bill for an act relating to education, reducing mandates for home schools, third reading.
Further discussion on Senate File 69. Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 69. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President. Pursuant to Rule 26, I would designate the following bill be made a special order for immediate consideration. That is Senate File 125, number 2 on your general orders.
Senator Koch has designated Senate File 125 as a special order, number 2 on general orders. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senate File 125 is a bill for an act relating to financial institutions authorizing a detached facility in Northern Township. Specifically, Altima Bank, Minnesota, with its main office in Winger, Minnesota, has been operating a loan production office in Northern Township for almost 5 years. Passage of this bill will allow Altima Bank to expand to a full-service branch office at that location. The office is currently located in a professional building immediately across the road from the city limits of Bemidji. Even most residents of the area don't realize that the building is not in the city limits. Other members of the banking community in Bemidji were approached and expressed no concern over the addition of Altima Bank in Northern Township. Northern Township officials have expressed their acceptance of the bank as well, and I do have a letter from the commissioner's office that they would not challenge this either. Passage of the bill would add 2 employees immediately and the possibility of more in the future, and I would urge members to vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Discussion on Senate File 125. Seeing no discussion, the secretary will give Senate File 125 its third reading.
Senate File Number 125, a bill for an act relating to financial institutions, third reading.
Discussion on Senate File 125. Seeing none, secretary will take the roll on Senate File 125. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President. Pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bill be made a special order for immediate consideration, Senate File 194, number 6 on your general orders, members.
Senator Koch has designated Senate File 194, number 6 on general orders, a special order. Senator Thompson.
Madam President, thank you. This bill that I stand to discuss is dealing with Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, and specifically that deals with secured transactions. And this was brought to me by lawyers that practice in this area. And I believe this to be a non-controversial bill. The attempt here is to try to clarify some of the rules and simplify some of the rules pertaining to how to get the name properly done when filing in secured transaction situations, to make sure that we don't end up with litigation over, say, for example, someone files something under Dave Thompson as opposed to David A. Thompson. These are the kinds of issues that we've been confronting in the past. This bill would correct that. And then there are also some provisions in the bill that would bring previous filings that are problematic up to the current standards that will be created by this bill. To this point, members, I am unaware of any opposition to this bill, and I would ask that you pass it and that we facilitate these transactions in the state of Minnesota, as has been done in virtually every other jurisdiction.
Discussion on Senate File 194. Secretary will give Senate File 194, third reading.
Senate File Number 194, a bill for an act relating to secured transactions, third reading.
Any discussion regarding Senate File 194? Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 194. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Koch. Okay. Moving on to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President and members. We will now, I would like to move to adjourn till Wednesday, members, Wednesday, March 9th at noon. This will be not, I don't anticipate a long session, but we will meet Wednesday at noon to accommodate the committees, but it will be a brief session. So I would move to adjourn till March 9th at noon.
Prior to that motion, first, without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Langseth, Stump, Reinhart, and Hall all day, and Senator Latz from 11 to 11:25 a.m. Without objection, they are excused. Several other announcements of Senate interest. Senator Kelash.
Thank you, Madam President. On your desks, I passed out a legislative reception for the Carpenters Union. It's just a few blocks away from here on Olive Street. It's an opportunity to meet with working folks from your districts. It's a good time, and also I've been informed that the three apprenticeship schools that are located in the building will be open. So there'll be carpenters, lath and drywall, and also the floor layers apprenticeship schools will be open so that you can see the kind of training that Minnesota's trades folks are getting without any cost to the state or federal government. Hope you can make it. It should be a good time, food for our folks, and look forward to seeing you there. Thanks.
Further announcements, Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I rise to a point of personal privilege.
State your point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam President. I think it's interesting that we just had an interesting debate about our Senate rules on the manner of dress that we were going to have in this chamber, and of course, we deleted that provision in recognition of longstanding traditions that we have in this Senate as something that we can all accept and abide by as adults and as grown-ups and as upholding the traditions of civility and decorum. And today I walk into the chamber and I see these buttons on the majority party's lapels. And I don't object to a good partisan debate, and I don't object to good debate on the issues. There are some who believe that all outward displays, holding up signs and those sorts of things, I've been criticized by members of my own party for walking in with buttons that speak to a particular issue. But Madam President, this button is a different tone altogether. It speaks of some pretty harsh partisanship. It's something that we don't necessarily do in this chamber in such an overt fashion that really smacks folks in the face. So I think it is at least a departure from the traditions of this Senate. Of at least having a fair debate and not being so overt in our partisanship in such a way. It's at worst tacky and insulting and lends a very, very negative tone. Unfortunately, I think we've gotten off to a bad tone in the Senate already from the start. I would hope that we could move through the rest of this session without raising the tension that these buttons represent.
Senator Dibble, well, I appreciate your concern. It has been generally accepted that members are allowed to wear, we have allowed to wear pins. I see other stickers on members today that are not exactly the same. And I couldn't tell you what those actually say, Senator Dibble. I can't see that far, but so I'm unaware of exactly what they say. But there are other displays, and we have generally allowed members to wear them. We have in some ways regulated staff so that staff doesn't wear buttons or proclaiming anything other than their name. But we do appreciate your concern over that. Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Koch renews her motion to adjourn until Wednesday. What's the date?
I'll renew my motion that we adjourn until Wednesday, March 9th at 12 noon.
Thank you very much, Senator Koch. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.